Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. These words of the Apostle Peter come to us not just from him, but actually come in an interpretation of the words of the prophet Hosea, writing to the people of the northern kingdom. Following the death of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel split north and south. In the south, you had Judah and Benjamin and the Levites, and their descendants are the Jews of today. In the north, you had the 10 tribes, the larger portion of the children of Israel. And those people were called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And Hosea was a prophet, specifically and most importantly, to the northern kingdom of Israel. And Peter, in our reading today, is drawing from his book of prophecy. And so I wanted to read a little bit from Hosea chapter 1 to give the context for what Peter has to say to us today. First of all, Hosea is beginning his ministry. He's fresh out of prophet school, and he's getting ready to enter his ministry. And his first calling in ministry reads as follows. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take yourself a wife of whoredom." Huh? You know, sometimes we read the Bible and things just go pshh. His first calling, his first duty was to go out and marry a prostitute, a wife of whoredom. Now, I'm sorry, but I don't think the Board of Ordained Ministry would like that very much. I don't think the staff parish committee would think very kindly of this one. But that's what he was called to do. That's how he was called to begin his ministry. Go take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. This is a metaphor for idolatry. The people of Judah and the people of Israel were committing idolatry. They were worshiping other gods. They were forsaking Yahweh and turning to the gods of the other people in the land. They were turning to the gods of the Babylonians and the gods of the Assyrians and to the gods of the Philistines. They were turning to other gods and worshiping them and neglecting the worship of Yahweh, their God. They were violating the covenant of Moses and turning aside to other religious practices. And this says that God viewed that as a form of prostitution, a form of sexual immorality. Let's hear what he says. So Hosea went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Jezreel means sows, and it's a valley in Israel. And what it says is, what this says is that the northern kingdom of Israel, due to their idolatry, God will destroy them. God will utterly destroy them. They have sown this with their acts of idolatry. Now God will destroy them. She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." Lo-Ruhamah, meaning not pitied. The second child born, a girl named Lo-Ruhamah, means it's a message. It's a message to the northern kingdom. I will not have pity on you. I will not have mercy on you. I will punish you without mercy. The southern kingdom, which also engaged in idolatry, which also worshipped other gods, they I will punish, and I will then deliver them. Not by war, not by military conquest. They will be delivered by me, myself. So the northern kingdom will be destroyed, will not have mercy, will not be pitied. The southern kingdom will be pitied. When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." Lo-Ammi means not my people. To the northern kingdom, God says, I will destroy you, I will not have pity on you, and you are not my people. They had been God's people. They had entered into the covenant relationship with God. They had been recognized as Hebrews. They were all children of Abraham. And yet God here is saying, not my people, not pitied, I will destroy you. And that's exactly what happened. The northern kingdom was deported by the Assyrians when the Assyrians destroyed them in the 8th century BC. It was a terrible story and a terrible occurrence. The partial descendants of the northern kingdom in the time of Jesus were called the Samaritans, by the way. And they looked poorly down on the Jews in Jerusalem, and the Jews looked up at them and looked poorly on them. They were not friends at all. So the northern kingdom is destroyed. It doesn't have pity, no mercy at all, and you are not my people. But the prophecy doesn't end here. Yet the number of the people of Israel, those who have been destroyed, those who do not have mercy, those who are not my people, the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. Wow. Destroyed, no mercy, not my people, and yet the place to where you have been deported to, you will become absolutely numerous. And there, even though it has been said you are not my people, it will be said you are the children of the living God. It's this passage. This passage in prophecy about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, it's this passage that Peter is drawing from when he speaks to the church and when he says specifically to the church, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The church, the new Israel, is the new people of God. The church, the new Israel, is made up mostly in Peter's day and later and certainly today, is made mostly of Gentiles, people whom the Jews consider to be not my people, people whom the Jews consider to be not having God's mercy. And yet Peter says of them, even though you were once not a people, now you are God's people. Even though you once lacked mercy, now you have God's mercy. What does it mean to be God's people? And what does it mean for us to have received mercy? Some people view the concept of being God's people as a point of bragging. Look at us. Look how great we are. God has chosen us. We be God's chosen few. All others will be damned. There is no place in heaven for you. We can't have heaven crammed. That's what some people seem to think. Aha, look at us. Sad to say, that's how some of the Jews viewed it too. They were God's people, and the Gentiles need not apply. We hear it in the church today. You're not good enough to be a Christian. You've got to change for God to love you. You're not welcome in the family of God unless you do this and you don't do that. Nonsense. Being God's people. Being God's people according to this means that God has chosen you. God has said, come. And God has chosen and God says, come to all. All are God's chosen people, called to come into a relationship with God, called to come and enter into a relationship with the Holy Creator of the universe. Freely, freely, we are called to come. I'm reminded of that beautiful hymn, Freely, Freely. The refrain, it just rings in my ears. God said, freely, freely, you have received. Freely, freely, give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. To be the people of God means that God has called you, as God has called all, to live in the family of faith. And it means to recognize that even though we once were without mercy, we once fell under the sharp edge of the knife. We were once outsiders. By God's grace in Jesus Christ our Lord, all have been welcomed in. All have been invited to receive mercy. All are welcome to gather at the table of the Lord and be part of the family of God. All are welcome to be part of this chosen race. All are welcome to be part of this royal priesthood. All are welcome to be a member of the holy nation. All are called to be God's own people. God's mercy flows to us. God's mercy flows to us despite what we do. That's what this message from Hosea says. The people of Israel didn't deserve mercy. That's the first part of the prophecy. The second part is the good news for them and for us. In the place where you are scattered to, where it is said of you, you are not God's people, there it shall be said of you, children of the living God. That is who we are called to be. That is to whom we are called to proclaim the message. We are called to go outside these doors, to go out from the enclosure of this church, this comfortable place where we worship and pray and fellowship together. We are called to take this message out into this world and to proclaim to every single person that we meet, by word and by deed, that all are welcome into the family of God, that all are called to be a part, that all are called to serve, that all are called to be in ministry, that all are called to be part of this royal priesthood which we share. That's what the bishop was saying last week. That's what the bishop was calling us to. That's what the bishop was reminding us about, that this has typified this congregation for 50 years. This openness, this welcoming characteristic, this calling to mission and ministry to all. And if it's typified this congregation for the last 50 years, it will typify it in the next 50 years. We are called to proclaim this welcoming, open good news. There are some in our own denomination who say, well, you can invite them in and they can sit in the pew or the chair, but they can't serve on committees. They can't preach from the pulpit. They can't be full members, active members of the church. This congregation has for 50 years gone For those who are listening on the internet, I put my thumb on my nose and wiggled my fingers and made the raspberry. For 50 years, this church has done that to the establishment. Oh, I wanted to do that to the bishop last week, but knowing him now, having gotten to meet him, I think he would have agreed that we are called to keep doing what we're doing, to keep proclaiming the gospel, to keep being out there on the forefront, in the streets, marching, speaking, in the media, speaking, writing, teaching, and displaying through acts of kindness, generosity. We are called to be, by word and deed, the welcoming family of God. Praise God for this calling. Praise God that although it has been said, and some still say about us, you're not God's people, God tells us we are God's people. Even though some people dare to say, you don't have God's mercy, give thanks and praise to God that we have heard God say to us that you have received mercy. St. Stephen, go into these 50 years proclaiming this mercy to all, being this merciful one to all, and living the life of faith that we have all called, been called, and will be called to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and let God's people, the royal priesthood, say, Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries.
Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved.
For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.